Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. You all right, Sean?
I'm very good. How are you?
Excellent, top notch, yeah, feeling good.
Stunning.
This is chapter one of our special Living the Present audio course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is probably the most important step of all. It's the foundation step.
It's a tricky one. We're talking about forgiveness or letting go, as you like to put it, in a slightly easier way for people to digest.
People, over time, as we've worked with this, the issue of if I forgive somebody for things they've done to me, people in our culture have a difficulty in associating that concept with saying in some way that what someone did was all right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fundamental issue, which is why I tend to use the word letting go rather than forgiveness. If there's a piece of emotional acid that connects you and I together,
yep,
and you have done bad things to me, I can't change you. I can't change your end of that emotional elastic. What I can do is to cut the elastic at my end and give it back to you because I don't want it.
Twang.
So yep. To forgive means to forego. I'm foregoing all that negative energy in the elastic, the retribution, the rehearsal, the rumination, all that rubbish. I'm letting it go. I don't want it in my life anymore. You have it.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is a big one. This is going to be good fun. Before that, I want to give people a quick recap as to what's going on here. It's a slight break from the norm for us, but we're basically doing a 10-week course for you guys, an audio course. A little introduction to each of the chapters in the book that we put out a few years ago. But as part of that, we're offering free access to the book via our website. So if you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret, you will find it, and you won't find the link to it in the show notes. This is just for the podcast listeners only, because
it's a secret.
It's a secret. And we're going to build this into a bigger audio course, which we're going to put out at some point in the future.
Yep.
Maybe 6, 7, 8 years from now. It'll be a...
I was thinking more like next year, like the end of this year.
Yeah, I'm joking. This year. Should we just dive into this one?
Yeah.
Because chapter one in the book is, it says forgiveness of others in the book is the chapter, but letting go. So it's a tough one, but why is it a tough one, and why is it step one?
Because the past is the foundation of where we come from, and unless we're renewing our foundation all the time, we get stuck in the past. Tradition... As an idea, and all societies have traditions, but tradition means connection to the past. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having roots. There's nothing wrong with knowing where you came from. The problems come when I allow the past to keep creeping into the present, and usually that's in form of an excuse, so that I can blame my current feelings, attitudes, thoughts, behaviours on things that other people did to me. Well, I'm like that because that's what this person did.
Yep.
Yeah. And that idea about, my father put my hat on back to front, my mother dropped me on my head, and those are excuses for being the way that I am.
Yep.
And they never are. What happens when you start to work with yourself, or you start to work with other people, is that someone's present may be the result of what's happened. So that's the reason that they are like they are.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never an excuse. There's never an excuse for negative, bad behaviours or attitudes that don't serve you well. There's no excuse for any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can play with it. You can blame who you want.
Yeah.
You can blame, the economy, circumstance. You can blame God, illness, the doctors. You can blame the bankers. Choose who you like. Actually, the way that you feel now, the way you function right now, what you're doing at this moment and what you do tomorrow is down to you. You are responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just said is an intellectual concept. Actually, emotionally, letting go of the past is the task, which is why this is a difficult step, but the fundamental step. Once you've done this step, it starts to get easier.
Yeah. It's a tricky one to get over early on, but I'm guessing on a daily basis you're dealing with folks that have had or that are working through some pretty horrendous things that have happened to them. But you'll have, I'm sure, hundreds of successful case studies where people
have come out the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have come to terms with, let go of, are living in their present, are happy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the weight of the past, when people have lots of this negative stuff they're ruminating on from the past, it's real heavy stuff to drag around. It wears you out. Mm-hmm. You know, a very tiring experience. Once you let go of it, life does not become easy.
Oh, yeah. Well, these things that do have physical impacts on people in terms of illness and, and what have you. And they shorten our lives, don't they? Which maybe if people are in this state of depression, you know, they're wanting their lives to be shorter, but, you know, if you flick the switch and learn this first lesson, I guess, then instantly you're going to want to live a lot longer.
Yeah, and enjoy what you're living.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look back on your life, are there instances, experiences or people that you would feel negative blame towards?
We do this when we did the course a few years back.
Yep.
And this is one of the early things that we had to write down or think of a person that's pissed us off in the past. Yep. And I actually did struggle quite a bit. I've just had that perfect a life, I guess. Not really. There's someone that I can think of. No names mentioned here.
What tends to happen is, you know, someone sits down with their journal and they're thinking about, OK, what are these things I need to forgive? And it's a bit like going into a cupboard in your attic. And there are the big boxes in the attic, the big events. And maybe that was like bullying or was a parent or a sibling or something that went on or, you know, a big event that happened. Mm-hmm. So you pull that box out and you process that box. And as you pull the boxes out of the cupboard, you find there's things that drop down the back that you'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, God, I've forgotten about that one. Mm-hmm. And all these memories come back. And it could be, and I've actually had this, you know, somebody was in the playground as a kid about to eat a lolly and someone ran past and nicked it, grabbed it out of their hand and ran off.
Yeah.
And it really, really upset them. And when this person as an adult was going through their cupboard and working out who it was that they needed to let go of, and there was this little kid that they needed to forgive for nicking their lolly, because in reality they've been carrying that around for years.
Yeah.
You know, so some of them may seem kind of insignificant, but lots of insignificant things create weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of drops create cups, cup creates buckets, buckets of baths, and baths become lakes. It's like it's a huge amount of weight to drag around emotions that we don't need.
Yours is a bit more obvious with your dear old dad that...
I use my dear old dad as an example. And in fact, I think that he is quite a powerful example in terms of the effect that I allowed him to have on me. And that's the important phrase, I allowed him. You know, you cannot be bullied without your permission.
Yep.
Equally, you cannot be loved without your permission.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue of our responsibility in this is a theme that we will come back to lots. About I am responsible for the way that I am. I'm responsible for my life. I can blame anybody I want to, but that's an avoidance.
Yep.
Yeah? And I'm not saying that people aren't bullied. I'm not saying that people aren't hurt. I'm not saying that people aren't done to. That isn't the point. Epictetus, the Greek philosopher, go back to that original quote that was at the beginning of the introduction, which is, none of us are affected by events. It's not that. It's our response to the events that is the effect. That's what creates our emotional inner world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if someone has done something awful to me, maybe they stole all my money or they killed my family or whatever they did, that in itself, all those things are terrible things. They're terrible things to deal with. But I have a choice as to whether I carry that around. It's a bit like bereavement is a process when we go through loss. It's a process that if we do certain things in certain ways, we move through that process. Mm-hmm. Bereavement's not an illness, it's a process, an emotional process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And it's the same with the issues of letting go. If we do certain things in certain ways, however terrible the events are, we can move to the other side of it.
Yep.
So for me, characters like Hugo Green, who was a rabbi in London who had been in Auschwitz and had lost all his family. Everybody. Mm-hmm. He was the only person that came out. Everybody died. The whole extended family went. And yet he was one of the most positive people I've ever come across.
Yep.
Yeah? He had a somber side. He was serious. And there were bits of him that were deep because of what he had experienced. But he was an amazingly positive man. Yeah,
if he gets through something like that, that just proves, doesn't it?
Yeah. So Nelson Mandela, he had the choice of creating a bloodbath when he came out of Robben Island or trying to make a reconciliation, which is what he did.
Yep.
Yeah? Big people, emotionally big, people that are able to process the worst things and make them into something positive.
Yeah, there's I mean, there's some of the big examples. I've found a couple of blog posts that I'll put in the show notes on the website that show smaller but equally impressive acts of forgiveness, you know, that just prove that no matter what you're going through, what you've come across in life, no excuses. You can let it go and you can move on.
And if we come back to the issue of living in the present, yeah, if the worst things happened yesterday or the day before or last year or 10 years ago, they are not happening now. If I'm living in the present, I'm actually present to myself in the moment. The idea of being mindful, being able to be present to myself in this moment of time, not involved with the past or the future, is where sanity and happiness exist. Yeah? Equally so, if I'm going to die tomorrow or the day after or next week or next year, I'm not dying today.
Yep.
Yeah? The idea of people rehearsing themes in their mind, either past or future things. There's a wonderful phrase, I don't know who said it, but I love it, is a hero dies once and a coward dies 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. And it was someone from one of the wars, I think on horseback kind of war. But the idea that if you continually fear what's going to happen tomorrow, you live the negative so many times. Yep. Whereas the person who lives in the moment only lives the negative once when it happens.
Cool. Yep, I like that.
Yeah.
Right, well, to start letting go then, do people need to make a list of folks?
Yeah, yeah. If you go through the step online,
yep.
The first bit about who is it and what is it that I need to let go of. Hmm. And very often that will be who is it and what is it that I've used as excuses not to be happy and fulfilled?
Yep.
Yeah, what are the reasons why? Mm-hmm. And if I can start to make those lists, then in the step there is a process there where you can start to address each of these issues. So the vehicle that we use in this step is about writing letters to people of forgiveness that you don't send. And that's a key thing, really.
Yeah.
There are some people that do choose to send the letters, and obviously it's a choice. Quite often, because it's the issue of the elastic, I'm dealing with my end of the elastic. You may not have dealt with your end of the elastic. So I write you this letter saying, Edward, I'd like to forgive you for being a total Nelson sod. Right? And you don't go, oh, thanks for that, Sean. You go, what do you mean? And then we go off again. We start the problem again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so very often, the issue of letting go is, what am I letting go from me? Mm-hmm. I can't affect you. You have to deal with your stuff. Your end of the elastic is your problem, and you'll have to deal with that in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my end of the elastic, I choose to cut it. There you go. You can have it back now.
Have it, twang.
Yeah.
I mean, with your dad, in the book, there's a letter that you wrote to your dad.
It's
in the book. But, and he'd already passed on by then, hadn't he? I believe. Or
Yeah. And that's an interesting point too, isn't it? Because you can write letters to people that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can write letters to people who you don't know who they are.
Yeah,
maybe you were attacked by somebody, and they created for you a situation that you then interpreted as post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe it shortened your experience, things that you were trying to do and couldn't do.
Yeah.
Quickest way out of it, obviously there's therapy involved, but it's about being able to let go of what you're holding from what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suppose it is relevant at this point to mention the idea of therapy, because as people, I mean, obviously as a therapist, when we do these groups, when people were hitting problems and barriers and buffers and all kinds of things, I'd have some sessions with them maybe and we'd help them move through the process. Mm-hmm. And on the programme, we had the practical element, didn't we, where people were actually doing exercises together and things. Yeah. And so that was good. And it may be that people that go through this process online might need to either email me or have a bit of contact online, Skype or something, or you need to find someone locally that you can go to.
Yep.
Someone that you can have a bit of trust space, holding space, where you can just let go.
Okay.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. So yeah, I mean, when how many people that you work with? This is just something I'm interested in. Like, how many letters do some people send? Because I could probably think of only one, and it wouldn't even be that big a deal, to be honest. But I mean, do you work with people with it? So yeah. They send tens, hundreds of letters.
Yeah. No, not necessarily the volume of letters, although some people do go for big volumes, as in like 50 to 100 letters kind of thing, which is big stuff. It's the length of the letters. It's when someone's has had an ongoing difficult experience with another person over many years, perhaps, mm-hmm. And they need to get all this stuff out. They need to review it. And get it out, because when you put something out on a piece of paper, whether you do it through a computer screen, in fact, I did my letters on a computer screen when I was doing it, because I liked the idea. I'd write a version of the letter and then I'd go away and leave it, come back two days later and then read it again and think, nah. And then I'd edit it until I got it right. It may take me several goes to get it right. Then I'd print it and delete it from the screen. So I've now got it on paper.
Okay. Yeah?
No, but for some people, that may be one sheet of paper. It may be 100 sheets of paper. It depends on what you've needed to get out of your system. The issue at the end of each of these steps, as people go through it, is what do you do with the paper? You know, you've just dumped all this stuff. Maybe you've got 50 letters of 9 pages each.
Yeah.
So you've got this wadge of stuff that's kind of throbbing away in the drawer there that you've moved from your head and your heart out onto the paper. You've processed it through. What do you do with it? So the favourite is, for most people, is that people burn it. And what they'll do is that they will light a fire in the garden or somewhere meaningful, maybe it's a beach, and they will read each piece of paper, each letter, and consciously commit it to the flames and let it go into nothing.
Off it goes.
Yeah. So and that sense of ritual for lots of human beings is vitally important, mm-hmm. being able to process things through. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I mean, when you're writing your letter, I was thinking about your dad in particular. Are you being like compassionate as to trying to think about why he was the man he was?
Well, when you read the letter, there's a bit in there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I cut across you. What were you going to say?
No, it's just carry on. Yeah, just that.
I think that the process, and it will become clear as we go through the other steps. Is that in the issue of me needing to forgive my father for my experience of the way that our relationship was and the things that happened, was step one. The thing was, and as will become obvious as you go through this process, but he kept popping up on other lists as well. And as he popped up on other lists, it began to change my experience of him. And I think that is a processing.
Yep.
That goes on. And really, I mean, at the end of all this work, for me, I could understand really why he was like he was. I don't think that was an excuse. That's what I mean. But I could see the reason why he was like he was. There are no excuses for being the way that he was, but that was the reason. And I could get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the issue always for me is because I deal with all the odd bods. I have rapists, I have murderers, I have all kinds of people that I deal with, mm-hmm. that very often other people won't deal with. They refuse to deal with them because I am very aware of the idea, the concept, the reality, mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter at what point someone wakes up and realizes what they've been doing and actually addresses it. And it doesn't matter what they've been doing, because as far as I'm concerned, we are all the same. We're all human beings on the same path.
Yep.
Yeah, we may think we're a clever dick and we're ahead of other people.
Well, I do. Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
But that's it, isn't it? It's like we're all there.
Of course.
So the idea of forgiveness isn't just an individual thing. I think it's a collective societal thing as well.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a good introduction to step one. Step two is linked in heavily in terms of it's more about self-forgiveness. So can we briefly chat about that before people move on to the next step?
Well, once you've done step one, where you've got through this process of being able to forgive other people, letting go of the effect that they have on you, one of the realizations, because very often people will say, you know what, when I was doing the letting go step, I ended up writing a letter to myself and forgiving myself.
Okay.
But step two is about acknowledging that I have done things to other people. So the issue, if we look at my father issues, is I needed to forgive him for the things that he did to me. But then if I was really honest with myself, there were things that I did to him, because the more he did things to me, the more I did things back. And it may have been simply that I peed in his wine or spat in his coffee or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there were things that I did. I did do things. Mm-hmm. And I could justify that I did them because I was reacting, you know. But actually, no, come on. If I'm being responsible for myself, I need to acknowledge that and actually let go of it. And that means actually seeking forgiveness.
Okay.
Yeah?
Cool.
And again, those become letters that you can't really send to people. Because if I send you a letter saying, I'm writing to apologise for doing this, you know, again, people are like to go, what do you mean? And off you go again. You're back into the problem.
Okay. Yeah? Right, so that's step two. Okay, well, we'll tackle that one next time around.
Yep.
Cool. Back to the podcast, as per usual.
Yep.
Have you got resource of the week, Sean, or anything you want to put in here?
Yeah, what I'm going to suggest here, and it's a really good thing to do, is to go into Google and just type into the search bar, how do people forgive others? And you get the most amazing things up on here. I mean, there was a chap I was talking to earlier on about the vicar whose daughter effectively was killed by other people.
Yeah.
And he forgave them. I'm reading one at the moment about an old lady called Ruth Peake, who was murdered by four young women. And it's a really fascinating story. Her son, who was in the courtroom of the four girls, their sentences varied from 25 to 60 years for what they'd done, and one of them got the death penalty. And he began to realise, once he'd processed this through, that he'd sat in the courtroom and watched the grandfather falling apart at the idea that his granddaughter was going to be executed.
Yeah.
And he began to realise that the effects that the murder of his mother had on them as a family, and then the effect that the death of this child or this young woman would have on her family, was the same thing.
Wow.
And it's a really interesting story to read. So, I mean, I'd go and do that. Just Google, how do people forgive others?
Yeah, well, I'm going to copy a couple that I found in the show notes, but, like you say, there are... I didn't even get down three or four on the list in Google, because it's just littered with what will be pretty powerful stories.
Yeah.
I've got a link I want to mention as well, not really related to forgiveness or anything, but just stuff that something I found amazing. The backwards bike that will break your brain. And this is a little experiment. Some guy, a chap did, his name I can't remember, but I've seen him before. He's got a really popular YouTube channel where he does just interesting things with science and stuff. But he had an engineer or an engineering company make him a bike that turned in the opposite direction that the steering, that you push the handlebars, just to see how his brain would react. And as you expect, well, actually, it was a lot tougher than he thought. It wasn't just a case of turning; it was, he literally couldn't go a yard without falling off the bike. Because even just going in a straight line, he couldn't manage, because you're instantly off balance and it's just all over the show. Have a look at it. I won't give away too much, but it's fascinating. It took a long time, and he did get there. And reversing the process was quite interesting as well. And he also, asked his, he made a little bike for his kid as well, just to see how children, and all this stuff just is, I was watching it thinking, mum and heck, all this stuff Sean goes on about actually is true.
What do you mean? I think the thing that's really fascinating about that story that you're telling is about, it's about how do we create and change habits?
Yeah.
Because one thing you said to me was when he went back to his ordinary bike, he had the same problems in reverse. Mm. But then he could recall the habit of riding an ordinary bike that was parked in the top of his brain, pulled it back out.
Yeah,
and that understanding as we go through this process and the steps of how the mind-brain system works is vital to making the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fascinating. So yeah, have a look at that on the show notes as well. Livingthepresent.co.uk. Quick reminder about the book that you can access, livingthepresent.co.uk/secret, as part of this little 10-week course we're running. Grab it while you can. It'll probably stay up for a good while, I would have thought. Yeah, we'll talk about next week. It's going to be chapter 2 in the book, isn't it?
Yeah.
Self-forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Apologising for who I've been, really.
Mm.
Yeah, that's tough. Acknowledging what I got wrong.
Yeah.
It's tougher than that.
All right, cool. Bring it on. Bring it on, eh?
Okay.
Cheers. All right, you have a good week, Sean.
And you. Take care.
See you, everyone.
Bye.